Everybody, welcome to we'll call it an abridged episode of the OIG Roundtable, or maybe it is the OIG Folding Table. It's just Wade and I today. Matt is all day busy in meetings and things of that sort, so we want to make sure we still get our content out to everyone, and so we're going to do a little bit shorter version because it's just Wade and I. And of course, everybody remembers and knows Wade, my one of our senior managers here. Running on one of our SIU teams, retired assistant special agent in charge from the LA field office. See, I get all discombobulated when I don't have you and Matt here. So, yeah. but we want to go back and revisit. We've talked a lot about doing on sites, and we've talked about the on site methodology and things of that sort. And we've been actually getting a lot of feedback about that, and we've had some of our payer clients that we run the SIU for asking us a lot of questions about on-sites, because it appears that in the industry on-sites are kind of making a comeback. You know, there was a period of time when on-sites kind of went away for a lot of reasons. It could have been budgetary. COVID obviously did a little bit of that. And so we wanted to revisit the discussion a little bit more in depth about on-sites, because one of the things that we get asked a lot is, when you're doing on-sites, what are we doing? What are we taking? What are we asking for? And let me correct that. We're not really taking anything, because these aren't search warrants. So on-sites are not judicial orders. There's nothing there. It's part of the contractual agreement to do these. And so on-sites, you're not taking anything. These are basically on requests. And they fall into two categories, scheduled and unscheduled. And Wade, you know, we're going to get right into this, is unscheduled on-sites should be used really, really sparingly, because there are going to be some concerns about when you just show up, and are you going to get turned away, and is the provider going to tell you no? There are obviously some concerns from a safety perspective. You know, these on-sites are supposed to be done with a little bit of a friendlier tone. They are not law enforcement related. And oftentimes, I think what winds up happening in the SIU space is, when some of our retired brethren are working in the SIU space, they have to try to remember to recalibrate that their mentality, that these are not search warrants. And so most of the time, an on-site is going to be done as a scheduled event. And I think, Wade, we want to focus on those. The unscheduled ones, we really think shouldn't be done with any level of frequency. They should be really rare. And from an internal processing perspective, your SIU has to really come up with some very, very compelling reason as to why an unscheduled onsite is being done. And so we'll focus more on onsites that are scheduled, because they're more frequent. And when they're scheduled, the provider knows you're coming, it's an appointment, it's something like that. But, you know, I think one of the things that we get asked is, when you're doing a scheduled onsite, what are some of the pieces of the puzzle? What are you doing an onsite for, right? Number one is going to be to get records. And number two is going to be potentially even a confirmation of the ability for the provider to do a test, if they've got equipment to do some sort of ancillary service, and is that equipment there? And the big question that I think we get asked is, when we are doing an on-site, what are we looking to get from a records perspective? So let's talk about that. I think there's two sets of records you want to get. You, in the scheduled on-site, you're going to want to give the provider the opportunity to pull those records beforehand, but we also want to have the opportunity to test the veracity of those records. And so maybe we want to collect some records that we ask for on the day. So talk to me, Wade, about what are the benefits of doing a scheduled on-site, and what are some of the benefits of how you're going to set up that collection of records, whether it be a probe sample or statistical, and then what other records are you going to ask for?
Right. Well, I think it's, you hit a key point, is in the differences between a scheduled and unscheduled. In the OIG days, not to go back that far, but just as kind of a comparison, we did almost always unscheduled visits, and there's different levels. And like you said, ultimately an unscheduled visit might be a search warrant, which there's a lot of different elements there, but unscheduled tended to be more confrontational, even if it wasn't a search warrant, we had like immediate access. We had like a letter we could show them where you have to give us access to these records like right now or within reason, like today. So those tended to be a little bit more confrontational. They didn't like that. You know, they a lot of times they would get their attorneys involved right away. And so that's not really a situation that we want SIU to be into. So like you say, that's where generally almost always we want to do scheduled so they know we're coming or that the SIU is coming and they can prepare for it. You're going to get more results that way when they know you're coming. You give them the list ahead of time as opposed to knocking and everyone is in a panic because they don't know what you're doing there or what you're looking for. But as you said, if you're doing a scheduled onsite, you want to in advance give them a list of records. If you're looking for medical records, give them a list of records they can pull them and have them ready for you. And as also, as you said, on the day that you arrive, you want to have an additional list, which is kind of an integrity check, just because the big concern always when you give them a list ahead of time is that they're going to alter records, create records, whatever. In the OIG days, we wouldn't do that because we were assuming they're just going to have a record creation party all night. They're going to be making records. So that's definitely the downside to doing that. But in the SIU world where you have to do that, it helps to give an additional list the day of, because if you ask for 50 records ahead of time and they're all perfect, then you ask for another 10 on the day of, and they don't look anything like the original 50, that's a flag that we have to worry about.
Right.
So that's one way to kind of mitigate the issue of them having a list and they're gonna clean up the records, they're gonna add things, they're gonna make them, they kind of know that the SIU is looking for, so they're gonna make them match all those requirements. And those additional records required or requested on that day will not. So that's a big area that in that additional list helps mitigate that problem. The other thing that we talked about a little bit is kind of the mechanics of doing an onsite for an SIU. You have to have, you know, definitely have to follow policy. What you want to avoid is having SIU investigators using their personally owned vehicles, using their phones. You know, they might end up using phones for taking pictures, different things that you really don't want to deal with. You want to separate their personal gear and situations from this act of doing the on-site. So you want to have in lieu of a personal vehicle, which if they get in an accident, there's all kinds of insurance issues. So instead of using their personal vehicle, you're probably going to want to have them have a rental car that has separate insurance. You want to have them, they'll probably still have to use their phone for communications, but if you're going to be taking pictures of things, have them use a separate digital camera so that it's not on all the pictures on their phone. If it's generally records you're looking for, you want to be sure to have a chain of custody. You want to have an inventory of the records that you've either taken or made copies of. Another issue there, are you taking the records? In the OIG days, we would generally take them, but you have that issue then of now are you hampering someone's health care because their medical record is not present at the office anymore? You have to take that in consideration, whether it's a medical supply, a DME company, you might be more likely to take the records without having a detriment as opposed to like a physician's office. But you want to be able to inventory those and you want to have a chain of custody. You want to be able to show from this point where we obtained the records, they went into, you know, they were protected, they were secured. There's a whole line of procedures you want to do to be able to show that chain of custody from when you obtain them to when you if there's an appeal, you have to be able to go up to that point. And the other point I think is very important that maybe a lot of people don't think of is just the liability of the SIU investigator being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It may not be that the provider is going to be violent or something like that, but if an investigator comes into the wrong neighborhood and they stick out, like a lot of times we did as agents, you might have something going on next door that's got nothing to do with your on-site, whether it be drugs, any kind of thing that they see, someone that they even remotely associate with the police. They don't know that you're not coming to their suite or to their house to do whatever
right.
police would be doing.
Right.
So they just see you as someone who's generally not there, someone that's in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that can be a major issue safety-wise. It's just a matter of literally being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, you know, and that's an important fact. And that's why we say that on-sites, unscheduled on-sites should be done sparingly, but even scheduled on-sites sparingly. And, you know, a couple of points. I think for the most part, while providers are on electronic medical record systems or EMR systems where those records can be put onto a disk or something like that, I think that when you're preparing for your scheduled on-site and you send out your letter to the provider with the list of records that you want, you should be pretty crystal clear that those records should be provided on a thumb drive, on a disk. Maybe the provider will say, well, I don't have a disk drive, I don't have a thumb drive. And then you've got to be willing to bring a thumb drive with you and do all of that and know that that thumb drive is then out of commission. I think what winds up happening is people get a thumb drive of data. They take that thumb drive of data and they upload it to their server for future use. And then they recycle that thumb drive. And I think the important thing to remember is that thumb drive becomes an artifact of evidence. And, you know, unfortunately, people in the SIU space, we tend to sometimes gravitate to, well, once my case is done, I'm done. And that may not be the issue. There may be a long road ahead that involves litigation because the provider is potentially out large sums of money. So if you are going to an on-site and you are going to bring a thumb drive, or your provider is going to give you a thumb drive or a disk or whatever it may be, whatever that media may be, that media is now out of commission until that case has been fully adjudicated, closed, and any appeals are waived and all of that. So that's an important piece of the puzzle. The other one is going to be that you have providers who are still paper, hard copy. And so maybe you have to think about bringing with a, you know, with your stuff on the on-site is bringing a laptop and a portable scanner so that you can scan those records. Because the provider might say, oh, yeah, I've got these records. They're over here and they're in this pile. You can make copies of them. And do you want to be in a position where the provider has a photocopy machine, but they're saying, well, I don't have paper. Should you be bringing a ream or two or three of paper? A scanner, that's an option also, right? To do that. If they're hard copy and they might say, yeah, you can make the copies, but you know, how are you going to pay me back for making the copies? And yeah. Some contracts, I've seen this with some in-network contracts where the provider agrees that if they're going to turn over records pursuant to an audit or payment integrity issue, that they're not responsible for absorbing the cost, that cost is on the plan. So does bringing a scanner with you and a laptop, does bringing photocopy paper, you know, having three or four reams of paper for those records, is that something that's value? And really, I do think the other piece, which I know we've brought this to light many times when we've talked, is exactly the point on the cell phone. You should not be using your own cell phone to take the photographs. You should have a digital camera. If you're going to take photographs, that you can make sure that camera's memory has been formatted. You've used the camera, you've taken the pictures, you've uploaded them. If you're going to reformat, you've made sure that you've done an integrity check. I have 100 photos on this camera. I have 100 photos that I've uploaded, and that you've created a document on this date, this camera, this model number, this serial number was used. 100 photographs were taken, 100 photographs were uploaded to this folder, and then you're good to go. You certainly don't want, because the I think the big thing is, particularly with cell phones, people change cell phones.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to make sure that your documents are all the way that they should be. People should be thinking in terms of, the problem I think that we've always run into, Wade, is SIU investigators, when they're done with their case, feel like they're done with their case. And they tend to sometimes forget about the fact that when you're done with your case, that may not be the end of the case. That may just be the beginning, particularly if there's a litigation issue or something along those lines that you have to keep in mind. So, you know, I think our recommendation is always that if you're an SIU that does in fact conduct on sites or does in fact allow your investigators to go out and do that kind of field work, that you've got pretty good policies and procedures on how those on sites are going to be done. Everything from the mechanical part of how far out do you schedule the on-site with the provider? Are you going to send the provider a letter that says you're coming out 30 days from now or 14 days from now? What's your time frame for that? And then logistically, how do you go about doing those on-sites? There really should be policies and procedures, and there should be standard forms and templates for everything from collecting the medical records, the chain of custody, and how you're going to approach it. I think the biggest issue that we're seeing is that in some worlds, the SIUs that are doing on-site work are kind of doing it on an ad hoc basis. And so there is no consistency, and there should be. I think the one thing that we learned in our training was that there's a level of consistency, and we see it when we would go out and do a search warrant, for example, and you had interagency assistance and you had other agencies coming out, that level of consistency was pretty good. There were one or two agencies that I know I worked with over the years where their consistency was not there. And that was always problematic. But, you know, generally speaking, there was that level of consistency. And I think that that's an important piece, particularly, you know, if you're just doing it within your SIU, there has to be that consistency in when you go and do on-site, from on-site to on-site. And the biggest, I think, piece of advice that we would collectively give, outside of having a policy and a procedure, is tracking the things that you've obtained during the course of your on-site. You have to really have really good documentation that explains that chain of custody or how you got things, you know, one way or another, if you took photographs. The other thing I would think is not a bad idea when you are doing your on-site, if you are going to take photographs and your provider is going to allow you to do it because they don't have to, is having a signed authorization in which your provider is agreeing to allow you to take photographs. And there's got to be the caveat that if the provider suddenly changes their mind and doesn't want you to do it anymore, that's a revocable, it's a revocable consent. And you've got to be able to have that in there where, you know, if you took 10 pictures and the provider gets nervous and says, I don't want you taking any more pictures, and they revoke that consent, there has to be something within a form that says, I gave consent, but I've decided to not give consent anymore. It's my understanding that SIU investigator, blah, 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 has taken 10 photographs and I've now waived that consent. So, you know, just something where you want to make sure that if you only took 10 photographs and someone says, geez, why do you only get 10 photographs? So, well, the provider revoked consent. Well, how do we know that, right? And the only way you know it is by having some source of truth. So it's an important thing. I think on-sites are always an important piece of that continuum, but having really good policies and procedures that outline it are going to give you that, you know, that bottom line.
I think too, going back a little bit when we talked about like photocopying and things of that nature, I think we used to do that a lot where we would bring a portable photocopier, like you said, reams of paper. I don't know that in this day and age with technology, if that would really be, it certainly wouldn't be the preferred method. I mean, you can, right. You can probably scan almost anything. There's probably no need to put it on paper, but even that's further right. than that, we typically will ask, set up like a SharePoint where the provider can just drag and drop files into a SharePoint folder.
Right.
So you could do that in lieu of going there and having to photocopy or scan stuff, but you could still do that. And again, back to the two lists, the additional list on the day of, you can have them, you know, we have a request for 50 records. You can drop them onto the SharePoint.
Right.
But then you can still show up for that integrity check of the additional 10 records.
Right.
Or even show up that day and say, I want these records right. dropped to the SharePoint.
Yeah.
Today.
Great point. Because one of the things too is, so, you know, one of the things that we at Advise have done for years is we also do record retrieval. If we have, you know, we've done projects where a payer is asking us to physically go out and retrieve records. And we've brought, you know, a laptop and a portable scanner. You know, I have a portable scanner that I use, and it can scan 40 or 50 pages at a time, and then you can append that file. It doesn't save the file until you've said finished, and then you can do that. And yeah, we've done that where we're scanning the records and immediately uploading them to SharePoint. And you can absolutely do that. So there's no thumb drive, there's no CD, there's no printing, in that instance, where if it's strictly EMR, they can just EMR submit it right to SharePoint, or if they're in hard copy, you could bring a scanner. It may not be a bad idea to bring a laptop and a scanner even when you know it's EMR, because what if you are going there and one of the things you want to look at is what's this piece of technology the provider's using, and
Right.
they have an owner's manual, they have an invoice or a receipt. So it's a good idea to bring that, even if you never use it. Always think in terms of it's better to have the things that you don't need than to forget them, and then you find out that you need them. So yeah, I know we've put together some policies and procedures for some of our clients on doing on-sites. And I know that when we've given those policies and procedures to these plans, the SIU directors come back to us, or the payment integrity or compliance, whoever our point of contact is, they come back and they go, "God, there's so much here." And it's like, yeah, you want to make sure that you have crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's. And while no one is telling your SIU investigators they have to memorize this, they should certainly be familiar with what those policy procedures are and bring that policy procedure with them in some way. Recommendation is not to bring it in hard copy. Have it in an electronic form on their work phone or something, because you don't want to leave it behind and have a problem with that. But there's a lot of moving parts to on-sites, and that's why I don't say this with hubris, but it's like, leave the on-sites to the professionals, to people who have done them, understand them. At the minimum, to the extent that it's possible, is to have robust policies and procedures that your investigators can be conversant with, to know that this is the process, and this process helps to mitigate risk from a lot of different perspectives. So again, ongoing conversations, ongoing discussions, safety first, and everything else will fall into place. So Matt, we missed you. Maybe not that much, but we missed you a little bit. But Wade, as always, great insight on these. And to everybody, as always, we thank you for taking the time and joining us for these weekly podcasts. And our newsletter, as always, on Fridays comes to right to your email. And you can catch our weekly LinkedIn, our monthly LinkedIn Lives, and our weekly podcast. You can also catch on Spotify, on our YouTube channel. Just take a look on YouTube. Just look for Advise, and you can subscribe and get the previous LinkedIn Lives and previous recordings of the OIG Roundtable. And again, we always appreciate everybody taking the time. So until we see you next week, have a good one. We'll see you on the next OIG Roundtable.
Thank you.